Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for this time that you've given us now. We pray that you would fill us with your Spirit, allow us to hear and understand things that are being said and shared. Lord, I pray that you would bless this time. Get me out of the way so that you can come forward and speak what you would have spoken. And we pray all this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today we're going to look at some things. Again, last month, we had the opportunity to go to a prophecy conference. And of course, one of the things that were talked about, it's a pretty big subject, is the rapture. And the rapture, as you can see, is one of those things that defies logic. And in some cases, there are people who believe different things about the rapture. There's many different ideas on the rapture. One is, should be on the slide here, a pre-trib rapture, mid-trib rapture, a post-trib rapture, and a pre-wrath rapture. And so I want to just touch on pretty much the one that I picked. And, you know, that's the way it is. I do believe, as many others do, and as the conference believed, that it's a pre-trib rapture. And I'm going to share a few things about where that comes from. First of all, though, I'd like us to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 1798, in your pew Bibles. 1798 in your pew Bibles. Chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians. And starting in verse 15 of that chapter. 1798 in the Pew Bibles, 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 15 through 18. And it says, according to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and left will be caught up together with them in the air, or in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever, and therefore encourage one another with these words. So the first thing that we need to identify is, where in the world does this word, the rapture, come from? And it comes from that word, the two words, caught up, in this particular scripture. In the Greek, it is harpizo, and that's to be snatched up. In the Latin, it's raptus, is where the English we get rapture. And so it was coined rapture, and if people caught on, and that's the way they talk about it. Yeah, if you want to get technical, it's not literally in the Bible, but it is an event that is spoken about. So the term caught on, and everybody started using it. But it's interesting to note that in Daniel chapter 12, that he actually talks about a rapture as well. And many of us don't even know about this one. It'll be up on the screen for you. You don't have to worry about turning to it. But it's in chapter 12 of Daniel, and it's verses 1 and 2. So follow me on this one. At that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arrive. There will be a time of distress such as not happened from the beginning of nations until then. But at the time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. So if you notice, it says delivered, and that word also can be rescued, and that is indicating something that people don't have to go through, rescued from this great tribulation or this great period of distress. And so in our Bible study on Wednesdays, we saw that the seven-year period that's called the tribulation is one of the 70th week of Daniel. And in this period of time, the Antichrist will come to power and etc. You know, I'm not going to go into a whole lot. Wednesday night, we're going into way more detail. So if you want to get some more detail, you're going to have to come to Wednesday night. A little bit of advertisement there. In the period of time, this seven-year period of time, there will be people who come to Christ. But according to Revelation, as you go through the whole book of Revelation from about the third chapter on, the church is not mentioned. And so we find that the absence of the church is evident. And the reason for that is because Israel is brought back into the spotlight. God is going to deal with their unbelief. And we talked about that on Wednesday night, this last Wednesday night. And so again, there's a lot of similarities to the rapture and what's going to happen. There's an illustration that's called the Galilean wedding. And Kathy's going to share a little bit about that on Wednesday night. So if you want to hear about that, it's pretty amazing, I have to say. So why do I feel the church will be raptured before the seven-year period? I'm going to share three things. There's way more than that, including the wedding illustration, but we don't have a lot of time to go through every single one. So the first one is the 70th week, which I already talked about. The 70th week is focused on Israel, and Israel becomes the focus of God's final 7 years, as mentioned in the 70 weeks of Daniel. And so Israel becoming that focus point, there's a lot of things that must happen for Israel to come to the belief or the recognition that the Messiah had come. And that's really the issue of the 70th week. They rejected Christ. And so that the prophecy that was spoken about them has not been finished. And they need to get to a place where they accept the Messiah. So that's the 70th week. Now, the second reason is that we're not to suffer wrath. And I want you to, if you're still in 1 Thessalonians, go to chapter 5. And if you close it up at 1799 in the Pew Bible, 1799. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting in verse 9, here's what it says. It says, "For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may be together with Him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing." So, this is the fact. The fact is that Jesus didn't come to the cross and die on the cross and give us salvation so that we could go through His wrath. That wasn't His purpose. His purpose was to save us from the wrath. And so it indicates that He didn't appoint us to wrath, the church, the Christians, the bride of Christ. He didn't intend us to suffer wrath. Now, some of you may dispute whether that period of time is the wrath of God. I want you to, up on the screen, I have Revelation chapter 6 for all of you, and it's in verses 16 and 17, and that says that all the kings of the earth and the generals and the mighty men, they called to the mountains and the rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of Him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand it?" And so this is the very beginning of the tribulation period when the seals are being broken open. And so, you know, there could be some people that say, well, yeah, but that would be pre-wrath rapture, that the church would be raptured before the wrath comes. But that's not what, again, the 70th week is all about. The 70th week is for Israel. And so the church has to be gone. Plus, during that period of time, it's the wrath of God. Now, some people say, well, you know what? It's just an escape doctrine. Duh. Yeah. I don't think any one of us want to go through that time period. It's going to be a horrific time period, even from the very beginning. As soon as you start reading Revelation and see the seals that are being broken open, and what we found out at the conference, something we didn't realize, is that these things are going to happen in rapid succession. It used to be I thought that, well, he's going to open a seal, and then maybe a month or two later he'll open another seal. That's not the case. According to the Greek and the Hebrew, it's this a rapid succession that follows. So he's going to open one seal, open the next seal, open the next seal. So this horrific time period called the tribulation or the 70th week is going to be one thing after another. There's not going to be any rest. No rest for the wicked. Literally. So why not an escape clause? Why not an escape for the church that he has called us the bride of Christ? Why would he want to send the bride, his bride, through his wrath? Doesn't make sense. So why else would Paul say to encourage one another with these words? The third thing, the Antichrist cannot be revealed. Go to 2 Thessalonians 18:01 in your pew Bibles, 18:01. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verses 3 through 8. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 3 through 8. 18:01 in the Pew Bible says, "Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed. The man doomed to destruction. He will oppose and exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshipped, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. Don't you remember that when I was with you, I used to tell you these things, and now you know what is holding him back, so that he may be revealed at the proper time. For the secret power of lawlessness is already at work, but the one who now holds it back will continue to do so till he is taken out of the way. And when the lawless one will be, and then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will overthrow with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the splendor of his coming." So we find here that first thing that has to happen is the lawless one or the Antichrist can't be revealed until this one that's holding him back is moved out of the way. But all this can't happen until the lawless one is revealed. So the lawless one is revealed at the beginning of the 70th week. How can he be revealed if the one holding him back isn't out of the way? The one holding him back is the Holy Spirit. It's referenced as a he. And so that reference to he is holding him back, that's reference to the Holy Spirit. You know, I was shocked when we were hearing a presentation on this very thing, that there are psychics that actually are waiting for this event as well. There's a woman that wrote a book, Tuella. She wrote a book called Project World Evacuation, and it's up on the screen. As you can see, there's flying saucers and aliens trying to are pulling these people off the earth. In her book, she quotes a being called Ashtar, and I have that quote up on the screen. "We have come to fulfill the destiny of this planet, which is to experience a short period of cleansing, quote unquote, and then to usher in a new golden age of light. We are here to lift you off the surface, yes, and those of the inner world during the period of cleansing, those who are walking in the light of on the earth." So you can read much more of this. I read a lot more of it, and they talk about people being taken or lifted off the face of the earth before great destruction comes. These channelers, these people who are speaking to beings outside this world, are telling us, all people that will even listen to them, that there is going to be people who will be gone from the earth. They're actually promoting it. And why would they want to do that? Well, of course, because when people are gone, when the church is raptured, who's going to take over when that vacuum is there? Well, these spiritualists, they're going to start promoting a deception that even if possible, the elect would believe. And let me tell you, they use words like Michael and Jesus and other things. God the Father. They use those words in their representation. So believe me, the deception will come very strongly. But when is the Lord coming? When will He come? Well, I'm going to share more things on Wednesday. I'm not going to put any dates. I can tell you that right now. Nobody knows the time or the day, only the Father. But I want to also say that in the Galilean wedding, it's hugely demonstrated. I do want to show a video that I hope will shock you into reality and bring you to the point where you realize that it is coming and you don't want to be left behind. You don't want to be that guy. You want to be gone. Because what follows is going to be something you don't want to experience. You know, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9 that he runs in such a way as not to be disqualified. And I'm not saying that there's work salvation. But what I am saying is that when you believe in Jesus as your Savior, you need to live like it. You don't want to miss the rapture. Do I want you all in heaven? Yes, absolutely. God does too. And so I'd like us to have a word of prayer. And as we close this time, I'd like you to, if you have not received Jesus as your Savior, if you have not turned your life over to Him, if you want to be part of that rapture, I want you to pray with me. And just bow your heads and follow this prayer. Father, I do not want to be left behind. I want to be part of that rapture. I want to be in heaven with You. I do not want to be left, to be forgotten, to be separated. Lord, I pray that You will come into my heart. That You will save me from Your wrath. That You will make me a new creation. Cleanse me, Lord, from the inside out. Please make me a new creature. Fill me with Your Spirit. I believe You are the Son of God. I believe You are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I want You to lead my life, to fill me, to be a part of Your Spirit, Your Kingdom. Thank You so much for this. And Lord, for some of us old ones that we believe for a long time. I pray that we would have a new fire in us to realize that, yes, this world is not going to last forever. There are those out there who do not know you, who will be left behind. Lord, I pray that we would have a newfound boldness to speak the word, to share it from our hearts with intensity. Lord, we thank you so much for what you've done in our lives. And we ask now, as we close with this last song, that you would just fill us and renew us, make us just part of the kingdom in such a way that we can't stop ourselves from speaking about you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our, let's all stand. I guess we're just going to close with, "I Then Shall Live." And it'll be up on the screen, all three verses. Yeah.